Good morning, church. If you wanted us to feel welcome, you didn't have to send the rain. We get plenty of that in Washington. But it does seem that you're trying to make up for lost time, because it's been really nice here for a couple of weeks, and then we got it all at one time. I tell people all the time that, you know, that we get a bad reputation on the western side of the mountains in Washington that it rains all the time, and that's not true. It only rains twice a year. From September to December and from January to June. I'm really glad to be here. And I hope you are as well. I want to thank you all for the warm welcome that we've received, for the gift cards, for the pounding items, for the help moving, for the folks who were cleaning on the house and cutting the yard and pulling weeds and all the things that were done to make us feel welcome. We're so grateful and so blessed. And I appreciate it. I know Susie and David are very grateful for the love that you've extended to us. And I just wanted to say thank you this morning. I also had three beautiful young ladies bring me lunch the other day. Ruby Lee, Pat, Kathy. Thank you guys very much. My wife was jealous. They brought me Chick-fil-A. And since she resigned from Chick-fil-A over a month ago, she hasn't had it. So I think that she's working her way back into it. So, but it was a nice treat the other day for lunch. So thank you to you three sweet ladies as well. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes the following. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree that the law, it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Would you pray with me, please? Our God and our Father in heaven, we are so grateful for your love for us. We're at a loss, Father, to understand many times your amazing grace toward us. We do not want to sin. We do not want to do the things that we end up doing. But you love us anyway. And we thank you, Father. As we examine your word this morning, we ask you to look beyond the things that we ought not to do and look to our hearts and see our desire to serve you better each day. Help us to recognize what you have truly done for us in order to make all things possible for us in this Christian life now and in eternity to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, too many Christians suffer from spiritual self-esteem issues. And Paul right here is actually showing some of his vulnerability in what he is speaking to through this writing, the Roman Christians. Now, the Roman Christians had a lot of problems. The biggest problem that they had was this idea that that was warring between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers. And if you look at a number of Paul's letters, that subject matter is being addressed over and over again. Paul in Romans spends 10 chapters dealing with this conflict. But most of this conflict came about as a result of spiritual self-esteem issues, of which Paul is showing I've got them too. You know, the Jews were very insecure, those who became believers, so insecure that they wanted everybody else to be insecure like them and to obey the law of Moses. The Gentiles, on the other hand, are coming out of a pagan system, a background that they don't fully understand themselves. They were just born into it and it seemed to make sense. And then all of a sudden they're told about Jesus and they draw near to God through him. But they were struggling. They were struggling with so many things. And so Paul looks at them and he says to them, you can go from wretched to no condemnation. As a matter of fact, those of you who have been baptized into Christ have been buried with him through baptism, chapter 6 tells us, and been raised to walk in a new life. But yet we have these spiritual self-esteem issues. I ask this question often. And I heard a brother talk about this just the other night. We've got a problem in the Lord's church in answering a very simple question, are you saved? We have a problem with that question. Because our answer almost always is, I hope so. I think so. The answer is not yes. We just sang a song about God's marvelous grace. Do you believe the words you just sang? Do you? Because if you believe in the marvelous grace of God, then you know that his grace is greater than our sins. It's greater than Paul's sins that he was struggling with here. And that we can go to a place where there is no condemnation. Why is that important? Well, because condemnation, if you look at the Webster's dictionary, is to give judgment against something or to judge one as worthy of some kind of punishment. Well, let me tell you something. Our brother was just up here talking about the punishment that Christ endured for you. That was your punishment and that was mine. That wasn't his. But he chose to take your punishment. Why? So he could condemn you? That makes no sense. I don't understand a lot of the things that I have done in my life. I don't understand a lot of the struggles that I've had in my life. I don't understand why I go between two extremes and I have difficulty landing here in the middle. I don't understand why I don't have confidence in what God has done for me. And perhaps many of you do as well. And I have grown through so many years trying to wrestle with this idea of understanding that I am saved. You see, the secret to true Christian happiness is when you finally realize that you're forgiven. You know, here in the beginning of this chapter, now just for clarification, chapter 8 is not in the original text. The chapter headings were added later to give us assistance finding our way through the documents, and then the verses were broken out many years following that. The chapter 8 in there finds itself in an odd place. It's great for remembering this verse, but it interrupts the flow of what the apostle's talking about. So just imagine, if you were, for a moment, to have the document as it originally was, and it goes from his spiritual self-esteem admissions to "there is therefore now," not "later," not "someday I hope." "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? If you are in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. From our scripture reading a few moments ago, you know, we got John 3:16 down pat, don't we? But you don't ever see the guy in the rainbow wig in the end zone holding up John 3:17. I don't know why that is. You guys remember that guy? And he was at the football games all the time, pro, college, didn't matter. Every time they kick an extra point, you know, there's the dude in the rainbow wig holding up John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You know why God didn't send his Son to condemn the world? Because the world was already condemned. It was already done. It was a done deal. From the time of our great grandparents, Adam and Eve, it's been a done deal. The world is condemned. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He came to rescue us from condemnation, provide a means whereby we could be forgiven. And thus, Paul writes, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." There's a lot in this verse, but I want to unpack it in just three small segments for you, so we can gain some understanding, so we can come to a place where we truly appreciate what God has done for us, this amazing grace that he has shown us through sending Jesus to die. First of all, there's a promise. And that promise is that there's no condemnation. There is no condemnation. Now, why is that important? Because separation from God, that is our spiritual death, is the result of sin. Physical death is the result of being born into a world tainted by sin. But our spiritual death is a result of us, ourselves, committing sin. We separate ourselves from God. That's bad. Because God is the life giver. He's our only source for life. And when we've separated ourselves from him, we have nothing to look forward to. The world out there that we reach into, whether it's this university, whether it's this community, this state, this country, or this continent, or going into South America, going into Africa, going into Asia, wherever we go, we are going into a world filled with people who are condemned because they have separated themselves from God. But in Christ, we are free from that thing that brings about death. We are no longer under. We are no longer oppressed by. We are no longer governed by the law of sin and death. When you look over back into chapter 7, you look at verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. But the very next verse, but I see another law working in my members, bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. That's the law of sin and death. Which law is going to govern your life? That's your choice. Paul knew which one was going to govern his life. He still struggled. He still found himself going through life in such a way that, you know, I don't want to do this over here, but that's what I end up doing. I want to do this over here, but I end up not doing this. You ever feel like Paul? Boy, it got quiet. See, because what we do is we look at that and we see that and we go, I can't be like Paul. But you're just like Paul. You're just like him. You struggle with things. If you're not struggling, please come see me afterward and tell me what your secret is. I'm dying to find it. We all struggle with something. And you know, as we go through life and as we grow and as we mature, the things that were a problem to us when we were younger may not be a problem to us now. You see, we overcome certain things or we outgrow certain things, but Satan is very good at his job. He keeps us focused on the things of the world rather than on the things of God, even within the body of Christ, backing up who is Paul writing to in Romans. He's writing to the church at Rome. He's not writing to worldly people. He's not writing to lost Gentiles. He's not writing to lost Jews. He's writing to Christians. Why do Christians have to be reminded that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit? Why do we have to be reminded of that? Because we are so short-sighted. And we fail far more than we ought. You know what we're really good at? Pointing out other people's flaws. We're really good at that. And I've got a lot of well-meaning brethren, maybe somebody here is like that, I don't know, who love to come out and tell me where my typos were on my slides. Why is that? I don't know, maybe I stepped on their toes too hard. I don't know. But, I mean, all kidding aside, don't we like pointing out other people's flaws? We do. Why is that? Because it takes our attention off of our own shortcomings. When we ought to be focused rather than on our shortcomings, which force us to point out somebody else's, we ought to be focused on the fact that we are in Christ Jesus and we're no longer condemned. That's what we need to be focused on. That's where the truth lies. You see, there's a promise of no condemnation, but where is that promise located? It's located in Christ Jesus. I'm having an ongoing conversation right now with the man who washed our dogs before we left. who was going to come to church our last Sunday. We washed the dog. We had to stay in hotels, so we had to make sure the dog smelled really nice. And he talked about his faith, and I talked about mine, and he and his was going to bring his family over, and then he realized, he looked up who the Churches of Christ were, and then he told me that I was a false teacher and a false prophet because I was teaching water baptism, and that's a work of man. So I've been having a long email conversation with this guy. He still doesn't understand what it means to be in Christ. I haven't condemned him like he's condemned me. It's been a long conversation. It's been going on now for 4 weeks, 3.5 weeks. But in Christ is the key to everything in Christianity. Do you know that? It is the key. And if you can show me any other way to be in Christ besides being immersed into his death, being buried with him, and being raised to walk in a new life, then I will change my theology today. Because there's only two verses. One is in which we just referenced a few moments ago in Romans chapter 6. The other is in Galatians chapter 3, 26, 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Put on there is a verb in the original language that speaks to the clothing yourself in a garment. For as many of us have been baptized into Christ, have been clothed in Christ. Now, I'm looking out this morning, and it looks like most everybody's dressed. And we're all very thankful for that. So thank you for getting dressed before you came. But where are you in proximity to your clothing? You are in your clothing. Where is your clothing? It is on you. And so if you are in Christ, you are wearing Christ as a garment. How do we get in Christ? For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. That's where no condemnation is found. There is therefore now no condemnation to whom? Those who are in Christ Jesus. And all of us who've been immersed into Christ, brothers and sisters, that's us. And we need to have some appreciation for that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes that there's salvation is found in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, where beginning in verse 3, he talks about all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. If you are in Christ, you have the forgiveness of sins by the blood of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We are new creatures or a new creation in Christ Jesus. See, that's the location for the promise of no condemnation. Lastly, what's the condition? How do we acquire this benefit? And that benefit is found by walking according to the Spirit. There are many phrases in our New Testaments that relay this to us. Perhaps one of the best known is in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, walking in the light. 1 John has several phrases that the apostle uses. Abides in his word, keeps his commandment, walks in the light. All of those are referring to the same condition. It's the idea that we are living as God intended us to live. Let me give you a secret. You can't do it sinlessly. I'll tell you another secret, but you can do it faithfully. 1 John 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us of all sin. Cleanses. That's a present and continuing action for those who are walking in the light. Now, if we can do it sinlessly, why do we need the continuing action of the blood of Christ in our lives? Very next verse, the Apostle John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Those four pronouns, who's John including in that? He's including himself. John the Apostle is including himself in those statements. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Folks, we need to be faithful. We don't have to be perfectly sinless because guess what? Nobody would need to apply. Jesus is the only one that was able to do that. You see, flesh wars against the things that we know to be true in our lives. As Christians, we've been made aware of those things. But the Spirit helps put those things to death in our lives. Paul goes on to say in chapter 8 and verse 13. So we have a promise of no condemnation. That promise is found in Christ Jesus. And that promise's condition is that we remain faithful to him. See, it's not about once saved, always saved, and things that people try to invent to either make themselves feel better or to undermine something. You know, it's all conditional. God's love is not conditional, but his salvation has terms associated with it. We didn't write those terms. God inspired it to be written in his word. All we have to do is walk according to the Spirit. You want me to give you a real simple definition of that? Walk according to the words the Spirit inspired. It's right here. You know what the great thing about God's word is? Every generation, it tells them something different. Is that true or false? That's false. This word right here, whatever language it's translated into, tells everybody the same thing that the original letter said. God's word doesn't change. It doesn't have to change. Because it is written in such a way that it applies to every person in every place for all time till Jesus comes back. And I take great security in that my God doesn't change. And his word doesn't change. And his word does not fail. When you get to the conclusion, or toward the conclusion of chapter 8... Paul says, what shall we say to these things? And there's several things he's talked about along the way, but I want you to focus on this. We've got this war going on in our bodies between what we want to do and what we don't want to do. And we've got this victory through Jesus Christ, and we are no longer condemned because of him. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Are you saved? I don't know. Are you saved? I sure hope so. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Jesus did not die. God did not send his son to die so that he could be against us. It was so he could be for us. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. No one can condemn us. And you can't even condemn yourself unless you stop living according to the Spirit. And he ends with this question for the sake of our lesson. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Brothers and sisters, you can't share what you don't have. And if you're going to talk to someone about their faith, if you're going to share what you know, and they say, well, it says right here, there's no condemnation. Are you saved? And you say, well, I don't know. And you're sharing I don't know with me? I sure hope so. First John chapter 5, 13. These things I have written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. We've got to put aside our spiritual self-esteem issues. And we've got to stand tall in the grace of our Heavenly Father brought to our benefit through the cross of Jesus Christ. And we need to proudly proclaim that, yes, my God has saved me. Yes, I'm walking in the light and have the continual cleansing of the blood of Christ. Yes, I no longer stand condemned because God loved me that much. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you've never done those things. Maybe you have never put on Christ in baptism. I've just gave you a very quick synopsis of what it means to be in Christ. And if no condemnation, if salvation, if the forgiveness of sins, if being a new creation appeals to you at all, Jesus has the answer. You need to be found in Him. Hearing about what Jesus did for you is important. You need to believe it. You know, when you think about what Jesus endured, our brother was helping us to see a while ago as we got ready to share the supper. When you see that, those are historical facts. It's not blind faith. Those are historical facts that Jesus endured those things for you, that He died. You need to believe that. He went into that tomb. On the third day, He came out of the tomb. You need to believe that. And that's not blind faith either, because you better believe that if somebody had stolen that body, if Jesus was not alive when He came out of that tomb, that the Roman government would have left no stone unturned to disprove that. And they never did. You need to turn from the sins that are condemning you right now. You need to repent of those things and decide that you're going to live a different life. You need to confess with your mouth that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon doing that, you, as many of us have, need to put on Christ in baptism, humbly submitting to being immersed in water, that is buried and raised to walk in a new life. In that moment, God will apply the blood of Christ to your life. He will clothe you in His Son, and you will be added to His church. Maybe you've done those things. Maybe you're sitting here right now going, you know, I was doubting coming in whether or not I'm saved, and I still don't know, but, you know, just like the Father, whose daughter could not be healed by the apostles coming to Jesus. And Jesus says, do you believe? And He says, I believe, help my unbelief. Maybe you're in that twixt and between situation right now with your salvation. Can we pray with you? Can we pray for you? Can we encourage you this morning? Our brothers prepared a song to encourage us. Redeemed. What a beautiful thought. If you have a need, won't you let that be made known to us as together we stand and sing this morning.